Now, the Trail Talk Podcast, anything and everything snowmobiling. By UpstateSnow.com, I'm Rich Lupia, the owner and host. Let's get ready to ride. Yeah, the weather and the snow might not be cooperating, but it's Trail Talk Tuesday, and we press on with another first-time guest to the Trail Talk Podcast and one of the first supporters of Upstate Snow when I launched this thing over 8 years ago. He is a great man, great family man. His family has been involved in snowmobiling for a long time. His dad was the president of the Ohio Ridge Riders for a lot of years. Their family has been involved with the Ohio Ridge Riders in total over 20 years. He currently serves as treasurer, and he loves to groom and keep those Ohio trails flat, safe, and blissfully enjoyable. John Bates from the Ohio Ridge Riders, thank you so much for joining us on the Trail Talk Podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Thankfully, for the magic of Skype, we're able to have this conversation socially distanced to one of our favorite socially distanced activities, snowmobiling. You guys, for those that don't know, are the Club of Snow Bash. Dang this pandemic. We didn't have a snow bash because of it, and boy, did it feel weird.
Yeah, it sure did. It was the first time in, I think, 27 years, no snow bash.
And that's a huge fundraiser for you guys. You guys are a critical connecting club to a lot of the surrounding clubs like Salisbury, Penn Mountain, Deerfield, West Canada, in the foothills surrounding the Adirondacks and into the West Canada Valley. You cover a wide range of terrain. The Snow Bash was one of the biggest fundraisers of the year that allow you guys to have so many groomers, to have such great trails, and to be able to rebuild some bridges. And after the Halloween storm of 2019, you had to rebuild a bridge or two.
That's right. It pretty much decimated a lot of the trails that connect, you know, the C4H in our northern sector. And then on C4 coming from the Salisbury way, we've repaired or replaced at least 10 bridges in the last year. Significant cost to the club upwards. This past September, we did 4 bridges on C4 heading towards the Mosquito Hill Trail at a cost of about $10,000 for lumber and rental equipment.
And you guys have some generous business sponsors and supporters. I know that from the bridge project in Norway that Zach and I helped you out on at the beginning of last season. You know, C4 over on the Norway side coming out towards Salisbury. And just what impressed me so much was not just the camaraderie and, you know, the fact that so many people were helping on that, but just the unselfishness and giving spirit of the businesses, just donating thousands of dollars worth of equipment and man hours and time.
Yeah, if you take a look at like Bartlett Excavating, you know, Jason Bartlett certainly donates a tremendous amount of time and energy.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
A true craftsman, and you know, the use of his equipment, it really makes it a lot easier to get in there. And then, you know, Matt Edwards does a lot of logging and everything and is in the logging business, and he has donated many excavators and a bunch of other equipment that has helped us. Those two have been very, very critical in helping us be able to afford the things that we're able to do to make sure the trails are good and safe for the winter.
We definitely had this conversation in the previous podcast, that we did. Businesses step up. It's something that a lot of people don't realize. They think, oh, it's just club memberships and, you know, my club dollars go and the club just handles things. You know, after we talked to Rory Norris at Valley last week, I mean, they have several businesses like you guys that just unselfishly give. It's not a small amount of money and it's not small things. It's big things that people would notice if it wasn't there.
Right. Yeah. Another one is Moody Polaris. Bruce and his group always, you know, they maintain our saws and our Polaris Rangers and equipment that we use to get out there and, you know, to maintain those trails and get them ready for the winter. Definitely a significant expense. And if we didn't have that support, we wouldn't be snowmobiling.
That's very true. That's very true. Okay, so Snow Bash, you guys, the big raffle that you guys do at $100 a ticket, obviously you used to have the drawing at Snow Bash, but because there was no Snow Bash, it got backed up. So for those that may not be in the know, let us know what you did with that raffle. Are there tickets still available, and how can people support the club that way?
Yep. The first thing everybody ought to know is that that raffle began, you know, many years ago, and it's 400 tickets sold, and we give away $27,000. And, you know, one would assume that the club pockets that $13,000. And what we've done is, you know, to support the snowmobile racing community, that $13,000 went to pay the purses at Snow Bash. It really wasn't a fundraiser for the club. We made money on the spectators and vendors and things like that. So this year, we had already started the raffle, and with Snow Bash being canceled, the club made the decision to postpone it, the drawing, until January 30th at our annual poker run that ends in the Legion at Cold Brook. So we're relying on that potential money, if we sell all the tickets, to be able to fund a lot of the gaps from the state funding for the diesel fuel and you know, maintaining of the groomers and such. But yeah, there's plenty of tickets available, and you know, it's really critical that we sell them all. We're taking money via Venmo and mail, and we'll even deliver them via car if we need to. But as of last night at our meeting, I think we had sold, you know, around 250 of the tickets, so there's about 150 of them available.
Makes a great Christmas gift, and the top prize is
$10,000.
Ding. Of which Cuomo will probably take half of it. Or if he doesn't, you know, the federal government will. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw cold water on that instead of snow. I mean, it happens with, you know, with anything. But, hey, it's a blessing that many of us will enjoy. And because it's being drawn in January, I'm just thinking about this out loud and on the fly, because it's being drawn in January instead of September, you don't have to worry about it until the next tax season. You can come up with some write-offs.
Sounds good.
See, that tip is free. Follow me for more. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
yeah, don't follow. Consult your accountant and do everything by the book. Okay, that's it. End of story there. Anyway, I digress. Let's go to your love for snowmobiling. I mean, obviously, many guests that we've had on the Trail Talk podcast, you know, people that have been involved with snowmobiling, more than just them, it's the families. It's a lifelong passion that's shared across generations. I would love for you to share with our Upstate Snow audience a little bit more about your story, because I know your dad was instrumental in a lot of things, not just at the Ohio Club, but with you and your family getting involved with it and with you being involved today. So tell us a little bit more about that story and that passion that developed in you for the sport.
Yeah, pretty much as long as I can ever remember, we've had snowmobiles, my mom and dad, and it was a big group family event. Back then in those days, you know, in the 70s and 80s, the club would have club rides and there would be destination rides. And I just remember having that schedule or that calendar posted in our kitchen of when all the rides were, and, you know, looking forward to it, you know, making bonfires at Fun Hill. And then we used to go to my Uncle Bill's place up in North Lake. He was the caretaker at North Lake, and getting out there on the lake with the trucks and snowmobiles, and just a real family event. And then, you know, I joined the Navy, and after I graduated, kind of left for a little while, but every time I came home, I made a point to take leave during the winter, and pretty much always had a snowmobile one way or another. And when I retired in 2012, I, you know, just kind of wanted to jump into it head first and help my dad in the club, and been doing it wide open the best I can. And the club has been fantastic over the years. A lot of people have been in the club a long time and have contributed so much. You know, I got a lot to live up to, and it's just a lot of fun, you know. And now with my son being in his teens, and my daughter, we ride all the time. Like, you know, we've ridden with you and Zach, and it's just a lot of fun, you know, to get out there, be in the fresh air, enjoy the wilderness, which I certainly do. And then we always take our guys' trips to Maine, Rich. You know, you gotta got to pack up your sleds and head to Maine and, you know, do about 1,000 miles in 4 days and then come home.
And be quite sore after that, but totally, totally recharged. And you've got some great spots on the trail, and not necessarily way out, in the backcountry up on C4H or way up towards Haskell's and Morehouse or way out towards Mosquito Hill, taking C4 the long way around into Salisbury. Even the trails outside of Poland, when you get out of the sweeping views in the farm country that surrounds Poland and Coldbrook and get back into the seasonal roads heading back towards Hinckley, there are some places to where Zach and I, we would be riding 8-9 o'clock at night, just trying to get some miles in during the evening and just blow off some steam after a long day at work and school. And we would just get back there. It'd be quiet. And we would just shut the snowmobiles off and just sit on our sleds, parked on the side of the trail, looking up at the stars. And just the deathly silence, the silence so deafening. And just what an exhilarating feeling that is, that knowing that you're not that far off the beaten path, but that you felt like you were literally a world away. And a lot of the cares of the world were not there with you. And boy, I would love to recreate that right this moment. Oh, if I could forecast 3 feet of snow and 10 below for a week to freeze everything down and get the groomers out there and do that. I wish I could do it right now, but that's a wish cast. That's not an actual forecast.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree with that. And for me, not only is snowmobiling awesome and relaxing for me, it's the grooming too. And like you said, a lot of times we're going out at 3 o'clock in the morning or staying out till 1-2 o'clock in the morning grooming. And that's, although it sounds tiring, but after a long week, all your senses are fully engaged when you're grooming. And to me, it's a relaxing experience. And then, I get to bring my son in with me and, he gets to run the drag sometimes and to help me out and cut brush. And it's great. No, I agree with you.
One of the rides I took with my pastor back in January, we were riding and it was -5 to -10. And it was a little bumpy in some sections because the previous weekend, traffic was heavy and the temperatures dropped suddenly and it kind of froze things in place. But then after we left the Ohio Tavern, all of a sudden we found this perfect white ribbon that was flat as asphalt. And we were the only ones out there because it was so cold and it was, I think it was a Monday night. It was either a Monday night or a Tuesday night. Actually, I'm almost positive it was a Monday night. And we just rode that ribbon, and it felt so exhilarating. Even though that minus whatever chill was going through us, that was 15 miles worth of bliss. And then right just before we got to the turn off by that beautiful house that you built in 2012, we caught up to you. And, we hung out and, shot the breeze for a little bit. And, you did that after a long day at work. You were sore. You weren't feeling all that great, but yet you were out there anyway. And, snowmobilers really need to appreciate the groomers that much more, because a lot of them, like you, are doing it after busting your butts 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and you got families and you got other responsibilities. So I just wanted to tell that story, just as a hats off to you and to all the groomers out there at all the clubs across the state of New York, but just to give some perspective as to, the hard work that really goes into it. Even though it may be therapeutic and relaxing, it still requires your senses and still requires a lot of time and commitment.
Yep, you're going nowhere at about 5 miles an hour.
Which means that you got to have the radio and hopefully somebody in the cab with good conversation.
That's right.
For sure. Tell me about things that are coming up this season with the club. Anything important that people should know? Just what concerns that you guys have with snowmobiling in general? Just different things that you're either seeing in your club or in the sport in general. What things would you like to change about the sport at this point?
Well, things that are coming up in the club, we're working with the DEC to replace a lot of the bridges that need to be done on C4H and also on C4C, the Mosquito Hill Trail. because it requires direct work with them and the APA to be able to get that done. We also have our poker run, as I mentioned, in January, COVID limiting. You know, we'll see where we are as far as COVID and if we can get any gatherings together. I'm really concerned about our local businesses, you know, to be honest with you, kind of rely on the snowmobile traffic and the business and the money that that brings into our local area. And with the restrictions due to COVID, I'm kind of concerned on how they're managed. But I do believe they can be innovative, you know, maybe trailside barbecues or, you know, something outdoors to be innovative and still provide a service to the snowmobiles. And, you know, Rich, I think the biggest challenge is disrespectful riders, you know, ATVs and side-by-sides that go on the trails off of the winter season. You know, it's not so bad during the winter. It's when spring hits or just before snow season hits where we're, you know, getting on people's private property and folks are getting out there illegally on their ATVs and side-by-sides. It's a real challenge for the club to keep landowners happy. And it's an expense. You know, we put in gates for landowners and stuff, try to keep it, you know, the traffic out of there and safe. But sometimes people get fed up, you know, Rich, and it's a real battle maintaining, you know, a lot of trails on private property, right? It's people's, you know, being real gracious to let us go across that property and let people just drive across that property. That's what keeps us in business. You know, it keeps us riding snowmobiles. So that's the biggest challenge for us. And every year it's a new set of challenges, a new landowner. In fact, you know, tomorrow morning, that's what me and my buddy Rich Ernst are going to go do. One of the connector trails in Poland, they've had about a lot of issues with ATVs, and we're going to go try to solve that. You know, he's going to let us go through there, but there's specific signing and fencing and stuff that's going to need to go up. And so tomorrow morning, me and my buddy, we're going to go take care of that.
The things that people need to know about the inner workings of the snowmobile clubs. I'm glad that you brought some of that stuff to light. I want to circle back and just touch on a few of the things, not the stewards shops that I'm really concerned about. Riders need gas and they'll be able to run in and out to, you know, to grab a quick bite, to grab a coffee or hot chocolate or to grab a hot dog or an egg witch or something like that. But it's the Norway General Stores. It's the Haskell's. It's those
Ohio
types,
Tavern.
You know, the Ohio Tavern. It's those types of businesses that, you know, where these COVID restrictions that have already had a hurting on them and can only hold on for so long before you even bring in the marginal conditions that we've had in recent winters and the slow start. We need some prayers for those folks. And if there's any way that you're out in the trails and have the extra couple of bucks to support these businesses, particularly those mom and pop places like we just mentioned, they need it. They're fighting for survival just like so many other people are.
Yeah, Rich, one of the things we do is to try to help our local businesses is our landowners are mailed all a $40 certificate for use at a local restaurant to try to sustain them outside of the snowmobile season, anything that the club can do for them.
That's a lot of extra expense that a lot of other clubs don't do. I'm thinking of how many private landowners you have, and even though you go through...
Yeah, it's over $4,000. We have, you know, roughly 100 landowners. It's around 98. It goes up or down, you know, and we send them $40 to use at a local business. And, you know, the local business, you know, they redeem it at the local business. Then I write the local business a check. So that's how we control that. It's a way to support them. And they support us. You know, the Ohio Tavern, we have a groomer there full time. Our Tucker 1000 is stationed there all the time, and they allow us to have a diesel pump there and a diesel tank. They let us plug the groomer in. You know, the Alamo has done plenty with us for donations and things like that. Same thing with Haskell's. Haskell's has a groomer appreciation dinner every spring when we're done, you know, to kind of thank us for grooming right to their facility, you know, and we thank them, and that's how we try to, you know, watch each other's backs.
And that's an area, particularly up in Haskell's, that really took the brunt of that Halloween storm in 2019. Some of the most insane flash flood damage that I've ever seen in my life was up through that stretch. And just the fact that they were able to hang on through last winter, and that you guys have been able to keep those trails open through there despite all the bridges out and rerouting and ruts and everything, was quite amazing, quite a testament to not just you guys as a club, but the local businesses as well.
Yeah, and the town of Ohio, to be honest with you, Rich, they really help us out up there as well. There's a stretch where sometimes we need a plow. We actually we use a plow to help us groom to prevent the drag from falling off like a side hill down in, and so the we'll hitch the drag, you know, so it doesn't slide off. Plus all the stuff the town does for us for snow bash, mowing of the fields and everything, and we can always count on the town of Ohio anytime we need. You know, and during the flooding, when all those roads and everything are out, and a lot of our trails are alongside of those roads, up off the Great Wilmert Road and up through Figgert and things like that, and they really came through for us as well. So I'd like to do a shout out to the town of Ohio too. They did a great job.
When you talk about New York tough, this is what you talk about with New York tough. Gritty people that are not afraid to work hard, get their hands dirty, and when the chips are down, help each other out. And I am confident, John, that that spirit is going to shine through in this upcoming winter. And I am confident there will be a snow bash 2021. It's just a gut feeling. It's just, I think we'll be through this by then. God, I hope we are. Please, pretty please. Lord, get us through this pandemic. Keep people out of the hospitals and keep people from dying of this and getting life back to normal and getting us back to our snowmobile traditions next fall. I sincerely hope that that will happen. Any parting thoughts, any parting shots, final words that you'd like to jump on here with the podcast? Anything else that you'd like to say or for people to know about?
Well, you know, we have just under 100 miles of trails, and we would really appreciate everybody's support joining the club, OhioRidgeRiders.com. Also, you know, buying the raffle ticket to be one of our sole money makers for the year outside of the state funding. It's going to be real crucial to keep everything rolling this winter that we sell all those tickets. And like I said, you can go to Facebook, Ohio Ridge Riders or Snow Bash, and check us out. And there's instructions on there every week on how to buy those tickets and join our club.
And join where you ride. Join where you ride. Join where you ride. John Bates, treasurer for the Ohio Ridge Riders and groomer extraordinaire, great friend. And I just want to thank you so much. I mean, when you moved back in 2012, you really liked the idea. When I was up at Snow Bash, as I was talking to people, sharing with them my vision, everything that this project has turned out to be over the last 8 years has really been a fulfillment of that. But when you're pitching ideas and, hey, I got this idea, what do you think about this? People are really reluctant. But you believed in me since day one. You were among a handful of people that saw the vision, were all in, and part of the reason why we have the audience and why this project continues today and will continue for years to come is because of faithful, stern, confident support from great folks like you.
Thank you, Rich. Take care. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Trail Talk Podcast. For more podcast episodes, weather information, and so much more, visit upstatesnow.com.